Welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two world-renowned favorite daytime hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful afternoon for a podcast. It's 2:30 in the afternoon, not 2:30 in the morning. What?
It's so wild. And what, man, the 2:30 light is just doing something. You're just glistening.
Thank you. The sun is really in the right spot for me right now. I love natural lighting. It's so much better than light bulbs.
Although you could get one of those bright white fluorescent light bulbs that would do the same thing the sun does.
Oh.
But apparently they cause seizures or some shit. I don't know.
Oh, it's like, good.
Yeah. Like people, the way that it, because the LED lights are all just like a constant micro flicker of something, and it could like send people into.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. For a while there, that's what we thought gave Grievous seizures, but
oh, light bulbs. It's, no more light bulbs for you.
Yeah. Everyone, candlelight. We're going back to candlelight. It is funny, though, how, like, everything circles back. Like, you know, vinyl went out to CD, and now vinyl's back, right? Yeah. Maybe one day we're going to get so advanced with our light bulbs that it's just going to be, like GE comes out with the new natural lighting, and it's just a candle.
Yeah.
Inside of a glass bulb.
Cute.
I think we're on our way there.
I think so. The pendulum, man.
One way swingeth,
and it swingeth the other way.
Oh, goodness. How are you? I feel like I haven't talked to you since the last time we recorded, is what it feels like.
Good. Just hanging out. No. Vibing. I tried to go to Florida last week and was unsuccessful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Booked a flight out of Atlanta, drove to Atlanta, waited. The flight got delayed, and then canceled. And then I was scrambling, trying to get on a new flight, and they were like, there's nothing. And so then I just had to turn around and drive back.
You know, my favorite thing about driving to another city is the drive back from the city.
I was going to do it. I was just going to do it a different day, not the same day. But I did stop at Bucky's.
Classic. I've never been. Bucky's. Still never been.
I know. Next time you guys come, we should go.
I'm ready for that life-changing experience. I hear that it's life-changing.
It really is.
So, everyone, before we jump into this episode, first things first, make sure you hit that like, that follow, that subscribe, that five-star review button, whatever it is that you see. If there's any one of those that you've never hit before, hit it. And hit it hard. Hit it with conviction. Hit it with your fist bump. Hit it with your tongue if you're really feeling it. We're both very attractive people, so I feel like hitting it with the tongue is, totally kosher with us. And also make sure to go to Instagram, Twitter, any social media where you can find us. Go to search Grey's Academy Pod and follow us there for the latest updates. Follow me on Instagram at carmen.gabriel.official. Follow Kelsey on Instagram at chaoticallykelsey. And with that, we got an episode to do. And Kelsey texted me that this episode is the one that made her go through an emo phase or
That's
something like that.
That's not true. That's not... The words I wrote were, this episode made me emo, meaning this episode made me emotional.
That makes more sense. That's what I wasn't understanding.
The words that I wrote?
You said this episode made me emo, but you watched this episode live.
Yeah, but I texted it to you right after I finished it last night. I was like,
but the way
this episode made me emo.
The way that I interpreted it was that this is the episode that put you in your emo phase back when you saw this live in high school or college.
I understand that that's how you took it, but that's wrong.
Because when people feel emotional, they say emotional. When people say that they're
emo, they
say they're emo.
I understand that you, as a grandfather who is out of touch with the youths,
don't
know what people say. But people say this, this is making me emo. Like, it's giving me emo is short for emotional. Like, are you aware of that?
Are you aware that emo is also long for emo?
That doesn't even make sense.
emo is emo.
You're just saying
like,
noise.
Go back to high school. Emo is...
You're so dumb.
Oh, boy. You know what I need in my life? I need one of those fucking Blackberry Izzy drinks. Those are so fucking good. I saw the cup and I thought... Remember when I was at your house and I was drinking out of those cups? And I just filled it with those Izzy's.
So this good. Episode is really, when it ended, I was like, this episode specifically really validates my Derek hatred. Like, this is some...
Oh, yeah.
Derek,
this is
bullshit.
He's a dick.
I was like, oh, I'm mad.
So
that was not the part that made me emotional.
No. There was a lot of other... There were two times in the episode where I was also feeling... I was emo. I was in my emos. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
In my... What was it? In my feelings?
In your feels.
In my feels. I was in my emos. two particular times this episode we'll get to. This episode is... It's tough. I left this episode watching it last night after watching the newest episode of Ahsoka, which is a fucking banger. Like, easily the best episode of a Star Wars show that I've seen in a long time. Since probably the finale for Obi-Wan, for Kenobi. Mm. So.
Hello there.
Hello there. General Kenobi!
It's so interesting how, like, he just said hello there. And then, like, that was the thing that the fandom, like, latched onto. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anything, like, life-altering. You know,
it was.
Not,
hello there.
I know, but, like, it's not at the same time. It's wild that that's
so
the thing
simple.
That, like, they used it very well in the show, I thought.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So, the... Ahsoka episode was just so fucking good, and then I watched this and I was like a little bit let down. I was like, man, this was not as good as Ahsoka. So I did that to myself, but I'm just gonna go ahead and preface this episode of, bear with me everyone, this episode I think is a better episode than I'm going to give it credit in my notes. So
I think I was like watching, I was like, oh, it's a good episode, you know, it's like telling a story, whatever. But then like at the nearer to the end, I was like, oh, my heart.
Yeah.
And like, I just like kind of caught me off guard, and I like didn't expect to have feelings in the moment that I did have feelings in. So, I mean, I think it's coming off of what we've just experienced. It's not like a wild, you know, roller coaster and like the most life altering episode we've seen. But like, it's a good episode of television. It's just like kind of putting us back into the Grey's canon out of the. Out of the crossover times.
I agree with. Also, anyone who listened to the last episode, or if you haven't followed us on Instagram, Kelsey posted the trailer for the last episode. And it is super wild, but it's also funny to think like they also called it out. The dramatic conclusion of the private practice crossover. And I'm like, oh
yeah.
Boy. This is
Doctor?
Orgal.
Like, I just cannot. Like, it was, I was. And the
I
way
personally
that
it,
the
like
punches
the
punches hit, like, in like the flashes, you're like, oh my God.
It's like a Michael Myers strobe light punch.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know. It was wild. Good. It's right. It's fun. There were some moments in this episode where I was like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, drama-wise. I was like, what's the fucking point of this?
Yeah.
I hate it. Okay. Well, let's talk about it.
Well, let's go ahead and get into it, guys.
Let's
get
right
into
it. At 10 minutes. Okay. So this is the 17th episode of the 5th season. It is the 95th episode overall. We are five away from 100. We are so close. And it is called I Will Follow You Into the Dark. And that is such a song.
That is such a song. Anyone who is
emo.
In their... Yeah, everyone who's emo. See, exactly. That's the right use of that term.
Words have two meanings.
Emotional damage. Death Cab for Cutie. here we are. Anyone who had gone through any emo phase or basically just had a pulse in the year 2005 when this song was released knows this song. This was like...
Yeah.
You
would have had to try not to know this song.
Yeah. It genuinely. I dated a girl who had a Death Cab for Cutie shirt, and I remember the first time I saw the shirt, I was like, what the fuck is this emo shit? What are you doing? And I listened to the song and I was like, it's just so good. So I'm also a big Death Cab for Cutie fan. Also, spoiler alert, like the 5 out of 5, this was already on my iTunes playlist. This already existed in my phone. But I'll Follow You Into the Dark is a song released August 30th, 2005. This was the third single. So I'm going to see if I can pull up the other two ones that released from this, but it was the third single from their fifth album, which was Plans. The other singles for that were Crooked Teeth and I Will Possess Your... Oh, wait, no. That's not what I was looking for. That's a totally different album. That's my bad. So anyway, I'll see if I can try to find that. But this song was very well received critically on the charts. It reached as high as number 34 on the U.S. Adult Top 40 and number 28 on the U.S. Alternative Airplay. The singles in the U.K. reached number 66. It reached number 6 on the Rock and Metal U.K. charts, which is fucking weird. And then it reached number 42 in Scotland and 44 in Canada. So the album itself, obviously, so it's all about death. I'm trying to see if I can, like, from memory. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, they'll illuminate the doors on their vacancy signs, or they'll illuminate the no on their vacancy sign, and
there's no one. There's no one beside you.
Yeah. When your soul embarks, I'll follow you into the dark.
Also, I watched the video before we recorded because I just, like, wanted to listen to it. So I pulled it up on YouTube. And that's a weird-ass video.
Never seen the video, I don't think.
It's weird.
Is it any weirder than the Hungry Life, like the Wolf video by Duran Duran?
I don't know that one.
You should watch that. So, anyways, that's what I got. But again, spoiler alert, this has been in my iTunes playlist
I downloaded it. It was not on my phone. It was definitely on my iTunes, though, so I don't know why it's not on my phone. I guess it didn't all translate because it's been 112 years since I had iTunes on my computer and since I now have a phone in my hand. So I was like, I'm going to add this right into my little library.
Oh, yeah.
So I can emo whenever I want. Took me right back to high school.
Yep. Yeah, it's also when that little guitar riff in the beginning comes in, you know, you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. Ooh, take me back in time.
Yeah.
So anyways, with that being said, perfect score, 5 out of 5 on the Karman scale. Kelsey, back to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. This episode was written by Jenna Bans and directed by James Frawley. It aired March 12th, 2009. So there was like a little bit of a spring hiatus in between the crossover and this, like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And then it had 13.54 million views. And the synopsis on Netflix is, after learning at a deposition that more of his patients have died than survived, Derek decides to quit, but Meredith refuses to give up on him.
I didn't feel like he was quitting.
He did say he quit.
He did?
At the end, when she goes to talk to him, he was like, I'm not going to operate anymore.
But that's not saying that I've handed in my resignation notice and I'm done being a doctor.
He said, I'm going to quit. He said, I'm done. She said, you're quitting surgery. And he said, yes. You dumb bitch.
How
verbatim.
I'm like, how did I miss this part? It wasn't in there.
Hold on, I have the transcript. Suggest.
Wait, I got the receipts right here. Yeah, the thing
down.
The thing that I liked about this episode. So there was a lot of, obviously,
I'm
roller
not hiding,
coaster.
I'm done operating. And he said, oh, so you're just quitting. She's like, yeah, you should understand.
Oh, yeah. That's right. What a dick.
God, he really said the meanest shit he could possibly say.
You're a lemon. Call her a fucking, call her a fucking lemon. Also, so I'm just, bad episode for Derek, obviously.
Yeah.
But bad episode for Weber. What the
also,
fuck?
Also, yeah.
I honestly don't know who I was mad at more in this episode. At least Derek is going through like a traumatic event and like he's not processing correctly. He's lashing out. He's saying the wrong stuff and he should be held accountable for his words and his actions. But Weber's just being a dick out of spite to like Bailey.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
and he's being a dick unintentionally to other people. Like, I feel so bad for Mark in this episode.
Yes. When Mark's coming in there and he's like, we'll get to this. Yeah. I've got lots of notes. Where do you want to start with this?
Let's start with Izzy. We'll start with patient X. So we have a diagnosis.
It's true. And the diagnosis is Carmen is a fucking genius.
I cannot tell you the number of people that messaged me that were like, oh my God, Carmen predicted Izzy's brain tumor. It's like, well.
Drink it in, folks. I am a Shonda God. You want to talk about God or doctor? Talk about Carmen or God. This was, so the thing that I will say about this is, I need you all to message me directly and be like, Carmen, congratulations. That's first off. That's what I need. Was it a lot of our friends or were there people that you've never even met before who were like, oh my gosh, Carmen did this, blah, 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 blah.
It was like a lot of people, both.
Mostly friends, I'm sure.
People who had my phone number texted me and people who are friends with me on Instagram messaged me and they were like, well, I screamed.
Sorry, I mean like friends of the podcast is when I say friends. But Ryan and Leah, it's now safe for you guys to text me and congratulate me on how awesome I am. It's okay.
Yum.
But I didn't see coming that they, so the specific tumor, which I did not write down, if you have that, I'm sure you do, is it's connected to liver and
diagnosis, hold on.
The exact diagnosis, they said it was connected to different functions. I did think that Lexi was going to figure out that it was Izzy before the end of the episode. And I think that maybe she has a hint of recognition on it, but like, I don't think she fully knows.
Yeah.
But I was getting vibes.
Metastatic melanoma with mets on the liver, skin, and brain.
Yes.
So it would have been the skin cancer from the mole, but it's already spread to other places.
Yeah.
The lymph nodes, brain, and liver.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not a good survival rate.
No, 5%.
So, couple can months we, is her prognosis.
Yeah, although the one guy was like, but like, she's a goner. Like, if only you knew, dude.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, although, so Lexi, can we like just talk about Lexi's point towards the end? Or do you want
to
lead
up to that?
Yeah, I have
that conversation.
Can you, okay, read that to us, read that to us. With this, your sweet, sweet angel voice.
When, so Lexi comes in and says, she's like, thank you so much. Like, I really learned a lot today diagnosing a patient from start to finish. Like, I really appreciate it. And then Izzy says, well, what would you say to that patient? And Lexi's like, I don't know. Like, I truly have no idea. What do you say to someone who's about to die? And Izzy says, you say they have a choice. They can run away and hide from it, or they can face it. You say they need to be around the people who love them because it's going to be the toughest fight of their life and no one should have to do it alone. And then you give them the odds. And even though 5% survival rate is bad, it's really bad. You say, and Lexi says, screw the odds. People die of the hiccups. My mother died of the hiccups. Survival rate for that is what, 100%? The odds are that she should be alive right now. The odds mean crap. So people should face it and they should fight. Maybe not those words. And Izzy says, no, exactly those words. Thank you, Dr. Gray.
So I want to pause here and just reflect upon something that Lexi said. I forgot her mom died. What was her name?
Susan? Susan.
Susan, yes. No, I remembered as soon as she said it. I was like, oh, yeah, she is a mom. And that was a whole thing. That was a whole storyline for, what, season three or some shit? So it's a great point. My mom had the hiccups. That's a 100% survival rate, and she's dead. So a 5% survival rate means go fuck it and just do whatever you want. Let's live. Yeah. Let's kick cancer's ass.
Yeah.
So it was a good moment. But it was in that scene where I was like, maybe, like, do you feel like we're being led to believe that Lexi was in that moment? Like, she realized that it was Izzy, or...
I feel like not in that moment, but I feel like that scene... It would have been easy to follow if Lexi had put it together. But I think the way that Izzy kind of stays a little more removed makes sense that Lexi didn't figure it out.
She did a great job. Also, Katherine Heigl is just so good.
Yeah. And,
I just love her. And she's beautiful. But like her acting in this, like it's always been good. But this episode, so good. Like, yeah, on another level. Job.
I actually really liked when she yelled at the interns. When they were like, what's our prize?
Oh, and what's
she
the
was
prize?
Like, your prize is that you didn't fuck it up this time. Well done. You're fucking doctors. Congratulations. Nobody fired you today. That's a win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when I texted you about that customer at work the other night.
God.
When you get paid to be a doctor, that's your fucking prize. You don't get to be petty about other shit. If you get paid $15 minimum wage at a job.
Where people come in with the entitlement to treat you like shit.
Yeah.
That they don't deserve and you don't deserve. Like, oh my God.
Maybe they get some slack, but you as fuck, and they need prizes. Those people working minimum wage, give them some prizes. Okay.
Yeah.
Because.
Have you tried a pizza party?
Yeah, you're invited.
Will be like, what do people want? And people are like, livable wage. And they're like, what about some cake?
Yeah. Although I was like the candy man for our inventory the other night. I was walking around with a bag of candy going, hey, anyone want any candy? And everyone was like, ooh.
Yeah.
You got any Skittles? And I was like, oh, yeah, I got fucking Skittles.
I'm proud of you for sharing the Skittles.
Yeah. I did have to hide a couple for myself, though. I hid some Skittles, some Swedish fish, some blue Airheads, the best flavor of Airheads, and Reese's, obviously. So, anyways. But, yeah, it's like, don't ask for a prize because you're not very far removed from cutting open Sadie and doing some dumb shit. The only one who gets off the hook is that girl doctor, that girl intern.
Graziella.
Yeah, because she walked away. She's like, I can't be a part of this.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough balls to get in trouble. Okay.
You didn't have enough balls to be an idiot.
Yeah. Dumb. What a fucking dumb diss.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great scene. What else about Izzy stood out to you in this episode?
So her like evaluating everyone's lives and futures because she doesn't think that she's going to be alive to see them. She's like, oh, Alex, I can see you in like 10 years with like salt and pepper in your like hair and just like running the hospital. You're going to be such a good doctor. And then she's like to Meredith and Christina, I can just see you in the nursing home just talking at each other with your hearing aids turned off. You don't even know what you're going to like what you're complaining about. Ha 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 ha. And then she's like, ugh, I love lunch. And I'm like, that's
fucking
me.
Love
that's
lunch.
Me. Like, without a death sentence, that's me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's like she's eating. I don't know. What was she
It's like
eating?
Chicken salad, it looked like to me.
Yeah. She was eating chicken salad for sure.
Mm,
that jalapeno. She wasn't eating the pickle, though. She didn't have the pickle bite.
Mm.
Also, I went to Jessica and I went to a Jewish deli the other day on her lunch break. Their pickles were not good, and that they used to be great. They must have changed their recipe, but I ate the pickle and I was like, this is still cucumber. This is still 90% cucumber.
They did not ferment it long enough.
Just wasn't vinegary enough, you know, like you gotta take, you gotta crunch into that thing and get some fucking vinegar in your teeth.
Do you know what's never good is a pickle that does not crunch. Like, if I bite into a pickle and there's no crunch, like, it's like soft. I'm going to sue somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Cindy makes really good homemade pickles. It's her grandma's recipe or her mom's recipe. I don't know.
A family recipe. It's a recipe.
And she's got Greek and Polish in her, so you know that that shit's good. So, the thing that I didn't appreciate was they kind of were ragging on Izzy's desire to be like a teacher, and she hasn't been doing surgeries lately.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're the new O'Malley. And George is like, guys,
I am right fucking here. Like, and I am literally in between you guys, and you are fucking shitting all over me.
Their friendship group is just so weird.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not nice.
Well, I mean, I was about to say that, but I was like, but neither am I. So I can't be too harsh on them.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. You do hate me.
But I don't say things that are, like, truthfully mean. Like, I'm not like, Carmen is, like, actually the worst employee ever, am I right? Like, ugh, like right in front of you.
Right, right. That's fair. You say the overly sarcastic fake truths as hurtful things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. Carmen, you're so not funny. Or, oh, Carmen, you're such a bad singer. You know, like you say those. Well,
I mean, sometimes you're not funny, but also you're never on time. And I do make that joke a lot, but that's the truth. That's not a joke.
I have to joke about it though.
So that I don't kill you because that's sometimes fair. Be on time.
I was on time for a thing the other day.
With me?
No.
Well, then.
But I tried. The thing is I desire to be on time.
I give
for you.
A shit about your effort.
Oh, you and my wife both.
Yeah, I know.
All of the women in my life have forsaken me.
That's probably a you problem.
Interesting, interesting. I'm gonna tweet about this
in the fucking mirror. Okay.
All right. Anyways, yeah, are you done being mean, Christina?
They're being mean to George, but then like Izzy is really nice to him later. When they're like making jokes about her being like O'Malley 2.0 or whatever. And she's like, you spend the most time in the skills lab. You do more research. Like, I would be honored to be a doctor like you or something along those lines.
She says, I wrote this down because I really like this quote. You never give up on trying to be a better doctor and never step on anyone to get ahead. I'd be lucky to be the new you.
Yeah. And I will say, sweet. I think it's like they harass him, but like when his dad was dying and Christina told his dad that he was the best in the program, like I don't think she was just saying that to be nice to his dad. Like I think Christina's not the type of person to tell a lie to make someone feel better. Like she said it because she does believe it. Like, yeah, her and George don't mesh personality wise, but she can still recognize that he's a good doctor and he can be a good doctor in a different way than like the way she's a good doctor. So, I think that's what makes it's not an interesting show if they're just you know, five Izzy's or five Christina's. Like it's the what makes it
I mean
interesting
that would
is
be
the,
an interesting show
the different
Maybe
dynamic
not five
between
Izzy's.
Them all.
I don't know if I'd watch a show of five Izzy's unless they were all played by Katherine Heigl. I'd watch
yeah,
that
I
show
knew you were gonna say that yeah but it's just I would like watch... I can't with like that much like peppy. I'm like no
I could probably I could watch a show of five Christinas. I could watch a show of five.
To me,
Marks
that's just not like
or
I
Derek's
need
or Bailey's.
The different dynamics. Like I don't want five super egocentric people. Like
I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying I'm like, I find those four personalities specifically the least annoying.
Yeah, but if that was the only personality you saw, that's still not interesting to watch.
I mean,
like, there's no conflict.
You're right. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Okay, but you're arguing, though.
No, I'm not. I'm only pointing out
you are saying that you would watch it, which is an argument to what I am saying, where it's not interesting and I wouldn't watch it.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just having a differing opinion.
Are you finished?
I never finished.
Okay. Anyways, so Izzy is having a brain tumor in her brain. So.
But only because I manifested it.
Yeah.
So the thing, obviously she's going around person to person. She didn't have a one-on-one moment with Meredith though, right?
But just there was the one with her and Christina in the lunch.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
She's like, oh, you guys are like such good friends.
But she had the moment with Christina at the end. She had
yeah,
a one-on-one
she tells
moment
her.
With, yeah. She had the one-on-one moment with Alex, obviously, and they kissed. Also, have they told each other I love you recently? Because he said it, and then, like, Denny disappeared, and then she's got this tumor. Has she even said that she loves him back? Am I remembering this wrong?
Yeah, she said that she loves him back. I don't remember when, though, but she definitely did say that she loves him back. Like, she said it back to him.
That just seems like something you'd want to say more of when you got this tumor thing going on.
Yeah. Some people like say that less. Like we say it a lot and some people really don't say it very often. Like you used to really not say it ever.
Well, that's because I wouldn't say it unless I meant it.
It's because I really didn't love you.
At that point, I didn't. That's why I wouldn't say it. And now I love you guys.
Oh God, you're the worst.
Why? Because I say what I mean and I mean what I say?
I would love it if you fucking meant what you said.
I always mean what I say.
You just fucking say shit off of the wall.
Prove it.
You in the- I don't think that's something you want me to do in this setting.
No, I totally do. Only if you prove to me that I'm right.
I have receipts from multiple people, you being one of them, that would prove you wrong.
I don't know what you possibly could be talking about.
Anyways, and Carmen's a liar.
I am incapable.
But I will say, so
physically.
Here's the thing that about you.
Okay.
Is that you will say things, and in the moment that you say things, often I'm like, he believes this to be true. But like, there's like the follow-up is not possible. Or
that
probable.
Okay, yes, I will say.
But like in that moment you believe it to be true, and then like 10 moments later you're like, ooh, yeah, I can in no way keep that afloat.
But it's what
but
the
because
it's
of who you are, you will then double down on it and be like, no, I will shave my head and give you my hair. Okay.
No. I wouldn't. That's like one of the few things that there's.
Yeah,
there's
that
really,
one you wouldn't, but.
I wouldn't do that. Goodness, that's so fucking funny. It is true, though, because I feel in my heart that I'm capable of doing everything. And sometimes there's a chance that maybe I'm not.
It's not that you're incapable. It's that like the thing itself is. Like unrealistic or unnecessary or has like detrimental consequences that you have not fully thought of in the moment that you say it as a solution.
Also possible. Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I'm saying when I say you will just say things with little to zero thought about what it actually implies.
But I mean what I say.
You, in the moment you say it, believe that it is something you can execute because yes. You have thought about it in no way whatsoever.
I feel like we're saying the same thing. I feel like we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, you're just saying it like it's a good thing. And I'm saying it like it's a bad thing because it's not good.
All right. Anyways, so O'Malley 2.0. O'Malley the sequel.
Yeah.
Big fan.
But yeah, it's nice. It's we have noticed in the last several episodes, like George having no part in this show anymore. So it was nice that he got to participate in it again.
Well, he wasn't in the show because he was out busy in the skills labs is what we're
so
I think we're
busy
being
in
led
the
to
skills
believe.
Lab. So busy
guys,
with his research.
I am so busy. I can't even find the camera right now. You guys.
I also kind of feel like they didn't know how to resolve the him and Lexi thing. So they just like stopped addressing it.
Yeah.
And like now it's just not an issue anymore.
Well, they did the same thing with they just kind of gave us why they haven't had it. They went from best friends to boning to dating to like not talking. And he's like, I've kind of like backed off because you're with Alex, but like, I'm still here. I still care. Like, don't do that. Don't.
Oh, with Izzy.
With Izzy.
No,
yeah,
I mean with Lexi. Like,
I know, but I'm saying the same thing. Like, I think they took
They're retroactively trying to be like, this is why he hasn't been around. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Stop retconning George. All right. But yeah, no, it's, I always find that annoying in male female friendships of, oh yeah, like I just was backing off because I didn't know how the guy was going to take it. And Alex did say like, don't fucking talk to her, but that's,
well,
that's
he
on
said,
you,
don't
Alex.
Talk to me about her.
That's fair.
I will say he never has been like, why are you friends with George? Or like, why? I don't know. He's never like pushed on their relationship with like a jealousy thing, which is nice. Cause that's always annoying. When people do that, but it's unfortunately realistic because like a lot of people in relationships like don't understand platonic relationships, friendships.
It's true. Yeah.
So it is like realistic to address it, but I appreciate that they were just like, don't talk to me about, like, obviously I would appreciate it more if Alex just like wasn't a dick about it. But I appreciate him being like, don't talk to me about Izzy versus being like, don't talk to Izzy ever. Because that's stupid.
Yeah.
If you're with somebody who wants you to stop being friends with someone because they are the opposite sex and they're jealous, that person probably is not the person for you.
Yeah. And they're also probably got a lot of own personal stuff going on.
Yeah, they're probably losers. Yeah. Sorry.
So, anything else with Izzy?
I don't think so. I mean, do we want to talk more about her telling Christina? Because that was, we kind of just...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was the last thing I feel like we were going to end. Yeah. They go back to the vent. We get the vent.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I just... Well, why don't you start? You start.
Well, I like the choice. Well, first of all, Izzy goes to Christina in the lounge and it's just Christina. And she's like, I need to tell you something because I'm keeping it to myself and I can't keep it to myself anymore. Like, I need to tell somebody. And Christina's like, okay. And
well, before that,
she's like, you don't like me, right? And Christina's like, what? I mean, no. Izzy goes, you know, I need you not to like me. And Christina's like, okay. Christina, and I don't think she dislikes Izzy like actively. It's just they don't click like, you know, Christina and Meredith or Izzy and George or Izzy and Alex or whoever. Like, their personalities are obviously so wildly different. They're not going to just be besties. It wouldn't make sense. So I understand what Izzy is saying, and I don't necessarily think she's being like, why don't you like me? It's just, you don't, you know, I think she chooses Christina because it's going to come more from like anything Christina does reaction wise will be less emotionally based and more like medically based because of who Christina is anyways.
Also, the acknowledgement that I got from that, while it was like very blunt of them to say, was basically Izzy was saying, I recognize that I'm not your person.
Yeah.
But I need a person to talk to.
Yeah, I need a human who isn't like going to react the way that, you know, George would react or Alex would react.
Right. Which also it's I think important to recognize that George and Alex would both have gigantic reactions in very opposite ways.
Yeah.
Like Alex would go straight to anger. And Georgia goes straight to like, I'm losing another important person in my life.
Yeah.
So also we'll have to circle back on the Alex because there's a little bit of a cute moment there with Alex and Izzy. But anyways, so take it away. Take us more through that.
So then Christina's like, okay. And so then Izzy says, well, I can't tell you here. So Christina's like, oh, I'm going to share my secret vent spot. So she takes Izzy to the vent. And I really like the choice to have this moment be silent.
I also really don't. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did.
And I think logistically it's because if we heard it, they would probably in reality have to be screaming to hear be heard over the vent. So they play it like they're talking at a regular volume, which I don't think would be the case, but I like that that's how it is shown.
Yeah. And it's also, do you remember? I almost feel a little bit bad for Hunt because this was his secret spot. He shared it with Christina and now Christina's sharing it with Izzy.
Yeah.
And Izzy's going to share it with someone. I can feel it. There was this episode of Scrubs where they put a toilet on the roof and one person found out. And so the janitor put this toilet on the roof and he's like, oh, this is great. It's my thinking toilet and it's outside. So like you just look out into nature and you're just sitting there shitting. Mm-hmm. And JD finds out and he's like, and the janitor said, don't tell me about my toilet. And JD was like, well, why would I tell people about a fucking toilet on the roof? So then he says it, and then all of a sudden, everyone in the hospital was in line to go to this toilet. I feel like this is where we're headed. I feel like this is, all of a sudden, people are just going to be at the vent, and Hunt's going to need to decompress, and there's going to be interns there, and he can't. Now can't. I'm upset. Now I'm upset
Half
for
his
Hunt.
Vent. His vent clarity.
My vent.
Which I think we are past the prediction you made of Owen and Christina having sex.
Was it sex or kissing?
I think it was sex first and then you said kissing, and I don't think they've had a good kiss either.
No.
Weird. Okay, we'll get there though. So yeah, anything else on the Izzy telling Christina scene?
No, but I want to talk about Izzy and Alex for a minute.
Okay, first, I want you to predict what you think Christina is going to do next episode now that she has this information.
Next episode. I feel like she's going to try to talk to Hunt about a patient and what he would do. Or maybe... No, you know what? Christina's going to use this as the thing that lures Derek back in and says, you need to come back to work because there's someone who needs you. So one of our people needs you.
What? Will she tell him who?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Well, so, but do you think she'll keep the secret from...
Everyone else.
Everyone else?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if it's going to work right away. I think it's going to take another episode. She's going to, what I'm predicting is that she's going to tell Derek next episode, but Derek's not going to come back next episode. Derek can't come back to the show until he goes and finds the ring. That's Derek's, like, Moby Dick white whale right now. He needs to go, and his healing process will include finding the ring that he hit with a baseball bat.
What a piece of shit.
Like a fucking child.
Oh, my God. Oh, I cannot. I'm going to rail on this man in the most vicious way possible.
Stay tuned for railing.
Fucking hate him so much. Oh my god, what a piece of shit.
How do you actually feel?
I feel so validated. We'll get there. Honestly,
we'll get there. We'll get there. So I will say that there was a couple of cute scenes with Alex and Izzy. So yes, obviously yes. she was complimenting him. And also, this is the most we've ever talked about fucking Izzy in this show. And
like,
I love
probably
her.
Yes.
ever. So
at least since that time she cut that Elvad wire, am I right?
Ooh, man. All of it seems so long ago, yet so close. Maybe someone will come
been
cut
like
El-
four
her
days.
Elvad wire. Yeah, in Shonda time.
This
actually,
episode was the course of one day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too much. Too much. So we get the first scene where she's like, I can see you being running around this place. And then Alex finds one of the patients. He's like, hold on, guys. I think I found the error of the diagnosis. She's not actually epileptic.
Yeah.
Then Arizona's like, oh, fuck you, Alex. And then Alex is right. And she's like, you're the one to keep an eye on. Good job. Go get him.
You're
champ.
The future of this hospital.
Future of this hospital, kiddo. Gives him a little shoulder tap and with her little fist and says, right on, bud. And then he goes to tell Izzy, and he's like, I am not the kind of person who gets a win. I'm the person who sinks. And with you, I float.
I don't rise.
I don't rise. That's what it is. I was paraphrasing. Mine was better, I think. With you, I don't sink. I was the Titanic, and now I'm Royal Caribbean.
Okay.
Not the one that sank.
Thank you for clarifying.
I'm the Disney Dream. No Disney cruise lines ever sank. They're all good, right?
No, they're the ones that also pick people up after the people drunkenly fall off of their boats.
Oh, boy.
Which, let me tell you, as someone who has gone on multiple cruises, you have to try to fall off of a cruise ship. They make it hard to fall off of those things. You are actively trying if you have fallen off a cruise ship.
That's just so terrifying.
Like, but that's on you. Like, just
I know.
How hard is it to not be an idiot?
Oh, well.
Again, on you.
Yeah. That's fair.
Like, those,
I actively not be an idiot.
Those rails come up to, like, almost my shoulders.
That's a tall rail.
Yeah.
Anyways, so cute scenes with Alex. It's nice to see him. I don't love Alex. I know there are people. I know that there are people who don't like that I don't love Alex, or people who hate that I don't find him as attractive as other people find him attractive. Mm-hmm. But he's a good. I just want to see more good guy Alex. I want to see.
Yeah, we love
good
guy
in
Alex.
People.
This
we
is
like
a good
Alex
episode.
So, but yeah, cute scenes with them together. It's gonna be sad when she breaks his heart by dying. In the season finale.
Do you think he'll follow her into the dark?
Maybe. Maybe the cancer is one of those contagious cancers.
Oh, yeah. The kind that you just catch.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Alex's patient, the little band geek, Beth.
Beth.
Beth has a seizure whilst performing in a band competition. And the other little band assholes are really dicks about it.
Oh, yeah.
Band
kids are ruthless, apparently.
Apparently, they're
just
such little
assholes. No chill. No fucking chill.
So as they come in.
We had to drop formation, and the drummers and the tubas tripped on you.
Trampled on.
Yeah.
Because she fell down. And so people, stomped on her with heavy instruments, and they have no sympathy.
None.
And so she comes in and she wakes up and doesn't she's waking up and she's like, oh no, I had a seizure. And seizure patrol comes in, which is hilarious. And they're like, we're not gonna win, blah blah blah. And she's really upset that she has seizures. And Alex is like, it's not like you shit yourself. And she says, well, it's actually just like that.
Which is
it's the fucking same. I just I try and remember being a teenager, and I just don't remember everything being as mortifying as teenagers in media act.
I don't either. And I
know I was dramatic because I'm still dramatic. So I'm sure that there were. But I just don't. You guys, Michael and I were talking about it. It's going to be so hard to parent teenagers because you just look at them and you're like, I cannot express to you how much none of this matters. But I also remember being a teenager and thinking that everything mattered.
The difference
is it's so hard because you're not going to listen to an adult because you're like, oh, no one understands. I'm like, I do understand because I did it. And it so doesn't matter. It is so everything in your life is stupid. I'm sorry, but it's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I have so many high schoolers that work at my building and they're just dumb. And you need
even if they aren't dumb, even if you are smart,
not dumb.
The things that you care about are dumb. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I'm saying this from caring about things that were dumb.
Yeah.
And I just when I would have CPs who were like, oh, I can't decide of this or such because like my boyfriend or girlfriend is here. I'm like, don't make choices based on that person.
Yeah,
please.
Never.
Please, if you are 17, do not make a choice based on a person you were dating. Please.
Yeah.
Please. I cannot tell you how little it matters. Like, the odds of you staying with that person forever are so slim. Your frontal cortex is not even fully developed. Like,
yeah,
your frontal lobe starts developing truly when you're like 7 and does not finish until you are 25. You do not need to be deciding who you are going to spend eternity with when you are 17.
Yeah. Also, I feel like this is the perfect time to just pause and shout our friend Leah out. So we are clearly not doctors.
I didn't pronounce anything wrong.
But you followed. You said it after I said it.
I sat idly by. No, I didn't repeat it because I don't know.
So we were talking about the lobes of the brain and how Derek is a fucking
psychopath.
Psycho. And we were reading off the other lobes and I was doing on the spot brain learning,
which also like in your defense, which, you know, I'm the last person to come to your defense, in your defense, anything like with the anatomy could not be pronounced more different than it is written. Like everything makes no sense.
Yeah. So, I was pronouncing one of the lobes
occipital.
Occipital, and it's actually pronounced occipital. Yes. And I just want to say the spelling of this, let me just go ahead and put the occipital lobe is O-C-C-I-P-I-T-A-L. I thought occipital was a good guess. Clearly it just made me sound like an idiot. So
I will say most of like my understanding of how things are pronounced come from me watching medical shows. Had I like off the cuff looked at anything on like a diagram of the human body, I would probably mispronounce most of it, except for I have watched so many medical shows.
Well, I don't think I've ever heard anyone ever talk about that particular lobe of the brain. It must be like the bench player of the brain lobes.
Of the brain, right.
And what was the other one? The parietal lobe. How did I pronounce it? Parietal?
Maybe.
I was looking at I before E, and apparently it's P-A-R-I-E-T-A-L, but I thought the second letter is the sound that it makes, so I think I said parietal, and it's the parietal, so I thought I was doing it right again. Is it parietal? Is that what Leah said?
I think so.
If I'm pronouncing it wrong twice in the same episode in two different ways, just obviously, Leah, send us a message. But shout out to Leah for keeping our egos in check.
The big one is occipital. That's the big one.
Yeah. So,
but we
not
hope we
occipital.
Gave everyone a good chuckle.
Yeah, all you doctors out there going, oh, these fucking morons.
Yeah,
hopefully
we're not
you listen to this episode. This
we
is the redemption
clear
arc.
About that.
The redemption arc that you are all looking for. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
So, good times. Excuse me.
You're excused.
Thank you so much.
I think the thing that will be different between the way that we parent our kids and past generations is we have the hindsight of social media and time capsuling pretty much everything, right?
Yeah.
So you can go back. I can't tell you how much I cringe at myself for posts that I come up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think there was one.
You spelled like every single word wrong.
It's terrible. And it was on purpose. It was a purposeful. I just looked like an illiterate jackass. And now I don't look like one. I just am one.
But you're not trying to be one now. It's just how it turned out.
Right. Then I was like, oh, I'm so edgy and emo. Look at
how much I don't care about spelling.
Schools for fools with a K.
So.
And we get to show that to our kids. We've lived it in a different way. So I look forward to those times.
It like the thing about being a teenager is like it matters in a macro sense. The things you care about and your passions matter in a macro sense, but not in like a micro, like world ending sense that you feel when you are a teenager.
Like I spilled my cup of coffee on my pants. Now my friends will leave me. No, that's not
like then those are shitty friends. You've right. learned a life lesson early.
Macro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just wild.
Yeah.
To think about it. Anyways.
Think that these kids were like really dogging her and they fucking meant it.
Yeah. And that's like on shows. I'm like, where are your parents? Because they're doing a bad job. Like these, they're raising a bad human. And that does matter in a macro and micro sense.
Yes.
That's important to not be shitty people. That actually does matter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're annoying. She tells Alex that no one wants to be her friend because she has seizures and everyone's like weird about it. Which again is weird reason not to be friends with someone. I don't know. Teenagers are weird. Teenagers scare the living shit out of me. Anyways,
my chem.
Right. So
talking about emo.
Yeah.
What else? The best scene in this entire show today, in this episode, is when they're sitting at the end and he's like, and she's like, oh my gosh, a wrestler fixed me. And he's like, yeah, dude, what the fuck? It's all, you know, like, yeah, you still have a serious heart condition, though. So, like, shut the fuck up. And then the kids come in and go, oh, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, and he's like, no, she's good. It was her epileptic bone. And the one girl's like, there's no such thing as an epileptic bone. And he cuts her off and goes, are you a doctor, ma'am?
He yells at her. And I'm like, yes. Yes, Alex. Call a bitch out.
I would know what the epileptic bone is, you band geek piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestler.
I love it. I love the little moment of connection that he has with her as well. Just being like, oh, I was a wrestler, but you know, now things were different and you'll have your friends are assholes or not my friends. Well, now I don't have any friends. And then just there's a lot of moments of connections between him and this girl. And so the moment that I was referring to that was big drama, capital D, is when they're doing the test to see if she has a heart murmur if she is epileptic. So they're doing this test where they have to put her under and he has to like stand there and wait, like ready to shock her if she crashes. Cause this is like a very risky test. Apparently she can just die. I don't really understand this procedure in any way, but it's seems to be a big deal and no one wants to do it. And they're putting it all on Alex. So he's standing there with the paddles and like she starts to have the irregular heartbeat and they're like, oh, you have to shock her. And then they wait. They're like, wait, let's see if she comes out of it. And she does. And then they get the diagnosis. And Alex is standing there, you know, Hunt and Arizona are like, wow, you did it. Wow, whatever. And they look over and he's like shaking, fully like shaking, which I don't mind that. Like that I feel tracks and is fine. It's when Hunt goes over and he's like, it's okay. Like you can breathe, put down the paddles. And he drops the paddles and it just like cuts to the ground. And it's Alex's like the bottom half of his legs and the paddles just like slow-mo, like bungeed up and down. And I'm like, why?
And
truly,
also,
why?
Aren't those live paddles? What if they would
probably
have touched his leg?
Like, I don't know. Like it's fucking like, I don't understand the point.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who is so thrown off by that.
Because that's not the end of the scene either. Like they pull back and, you know, Hunt is still like kind of talking him down from it. But it's very like, I'm going to be artsy. But nothing else in this episode really matched that in any way. So I hated it.
Yeah.
The moral of that story.
I was like laughing at it. I'm like, what's going on? What's the point?
It really takes away from the scene. Cause like, it's a good scene. Again, I don't mind him like frozen in time, like shaking because he kind of in that moment where they do like they're fighting and they can't decide if she is having like an irregular heartbeat or if she's actually like dying. And the weight of that being on him and like this call is 100% like he's gonna own it either way it goes. Like that is a big moment. And I don't mind like the like them showing him like with the paddle shaking, But I don't understand that slow-mo drop. It like takes it, takes you out of it. 'Cause you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Especially it's just like, I know there's a lot of things in the show that you kind of have to suspend belief a little bit, but I find it hard to believe that a doctor is going to be that negligent to just drop the live paddles like that. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't think that there are doctors actively cutting open their own appendixes in the basements of hospitals, but I do think that this is a little bit less of a stretch, but it just seemed like one of those things where it didn't fit the scene. Yes, there was relief, but like how, like the relief could have looked a little bit different, and it was, yeah, just cutting to underneath the table, and it's his legs, and it's the awkward bungeeing of the paddles was weird. It just didn't fit. I think you summed it up perfectly.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. Not the vibe.
But Alex is that up-and-comer, and now, in the immortal words of George Washington, history has its eyes on you.
Yeah, so that's, you know, obviously it ends up well, or it ends well, and he makes the correct diagnosis. They're able to put in a pacemaker that, because basically what was happening is one of the ventricles of her heart was affected by the arrhythmia, so one of, when that one would go into whatever, she wouldn't get oxygen to the brain, which would cause the seizure. So they were able to put in a pacemaker that was going to solve that problem. Like, yes, she still has this heart condition, but it makes it way more livable than the seizures, which are obviously wildly unpredictable, as you specifically know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it ends happy-ish for her, I guess, but it's weird to me that we don't get a scene where they're like telling her parents that she's been misdiagnosed and mistreated for 6 years. But she's grateful. And then I do love when Alex yells, "Are you a doctor?" as well. That's also a very good moment.
It's great. That was good, Alex.
And then when they say to Alex, like, you know, "You did a great job. You're the future of this hospital. The chief is going to hear about this. Like, you're the one to watch." And then he just immediately goes to Izzy and he's like, I don't want to be great unless I don't want to be the future of this hospital if you're not there with me.
Dagger. Fucking dagger.
And then he like goes to do something else, and Izzy's like, "Wait, kisses." So,
but no, I love yous. No, I love yous.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to call out for Alex and for this, for little, was her name Beth?
Yeah.
Is when, so like leading up to when Alex is like, I think there's something else going wrong. I think her heart's like cutting out. Like some shit's happening. When she like looked at him and then flatlined and then seizured, I thought that it was an emotional thing. Like she was attracted to Alex and that like made the seizures happen. I don't know why. Like clearly trying to read
a lot into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, but then the other scene I want to point out is when Arizona was like, "No, there's no fucking way. Then we're not doing this test. Like, it's stupid. Like, you're stupid."
Yeah. Yeah. And you are a moron.
And then he just yells and he's like, "I'm not wrong. Yeah. I know what I saw.
I'm not wrong.
Hey. Easy.
I know what I saw." Okay.
Where's Rachel?
Let's not yell in a professional setting.
Yeah.
What a concept.
I mean, is it the worst thing that's ever happened in that particular professional setting? Like
in that hospital? No. Since last week, people were physically beating each other.
Yeah.
I just don't know if there's really ever a scenario in a workplace setting where yelling is the solution. Unless it is physically loud and you have to yell to be heard, but not yelling at a person for doing something wrong.
That's fair.
That's poor leadership, in my opinion.
Or intense leadership.
Intensely poor leadership.
I want people to fear how much they love me.
Yes, both. Okay.
What do you think about
Alex and Izzy?
Taking a quick break for some regional sponsors here.
That sounds amazing.
All right, everyone, you may hear some sponsors, and if you don't, just enjoy the silence, and we'll be back after these messages. Hey there, everyone. So a little bit of a curveball here. We decided, as we were recording this episode, that when it crossed the two-hour mark, we're going to go ahead and split this bad boy in two. So make sure you don't listen to these out of order. We did a whole new separate intro together for the next one, but we appreciate you guys. This is probably going to be, with how much we're talking, it's going to be something that we do more regularly. So sit back, relax, and strap it down. A new episode starts now.